Adam for life, my name is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I see a lot of people who have a lot know about living shine clean, living dirty. First, I want to thank God for doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I pull this up. And that's changed me without my own permission. And it's a good day to be clean. I want to thank the committee, right, for asking me to come and do this commitment. I want to thank everyone for coming out. Wow. Show the love, right? Mm-hmm. And support. I was just sitting there just trying to, you know, get my mind right and kind of like just trying to put myself, you know, in position, right? To tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And don't have any, you know, I don't want to have any cut in the story, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to thank my sponsor and people in my network, right? Because I was all in my head, right? About this topic, you know, because I was afraid. And I had, let me get to the end of the row. First, my home group is the Keep Coming Back group. We meet every Tuesday night at 7:30, South Potomac area. My clean date is January 1st, 1998. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't sound like this. I didn't look like this. I came here real angry. I came in here real arrogant. I came in here with a secret. I came in here wounded. I didn't know I was wounded. But my behavior showed, and y'all knew. Y'all knew when I came in that I was going to be a liar. Y'all already knew that. But I came in here with an image. After y'all told me, man, leave the image outside of the door. But I still came in here because at the end of the road, I'm the addict who lived in the garage and slept in an abandoned car. Ate trash out of trash cans. And took shower with water hoses. So I'm in this garage, and it's December 31st. Me and four other addicts sitting around a card table playing Tongue for Crack. We playing Tongue for Crack. And I'm having this one-on-one with God. And I'm asking God, right? I'm crying out to God, man, you know, why you continue, right, to let me live, and you know I want to die. And I'm having this one-on-one, and everybody else around the card table, right, we playing Tongue for Crack, and we got two type of bets going on. Right, we got the crack, right, that we put up, you know what I mean, for the bid, but on the side, right, we got the dummies, right, we betting the dummies, right, you know what I mean, that who, you know, who had the best hand. So through all this mess of this baiting, right, I'm winning, and I'm asking God, right, you know, why you continue, you know what I mean, to let me win. And you know I want to die. So I'm winning. I don't want to be, you know, I'm at the point now, man, that, you know, I'm using, but I don't want to use. I'm talking about using against my own will, you know, man, but I'm still using because now, you know, I got a dilemma, and the dilemma is I have a secret that I can't tell. So in the midst of this, one-on-one, I find myself getting up, right, from this table, and I'm walking out, right? I'm walking out of this garage, right? And I'm trying to find, you know what I mean? I'm trying to find a hookup, and the hookup that I'm trying to find is a source. So I find myself walking down in D.C., it's called South Capitol Street. And I'm walking down the South Capitol Street and I'm looking for a phone, you know what I mean? So I can try, you know, tap into that source, right? And that source, man, you know, I was trying to tap into, right? It was another member from this program who I had took, right? I took this person to treatment because I thought she was worse than me. So, you know, I get the hook up and I get in contact with the source, you know what I mean? And she says, stay right there. We'll be there to get you. So, y'all came. Right? Y'all came and God worked, you know, he has worked so diligently in my life, right? I found myself the very next day. You know what I mean? I found myself in a place, man, that when I got there, people was in this place walking around with signs and stocking caps on their heads, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to figure out, man, how did I get here? So I'm in this place, man, you know, I'm trying to come to some realizations, man, you know, man, what was going on with me and how did I end up, you know what I mean, smoking crack? Right, because you gotta remember, man, that I didn't start using, man, until I was 35. I came to Narcotics Anonymous when I was 37. I'm 53 now. I come from a family, right, that I'm the only boy. I have 5 sisters. I'm a military kid. I had a father, man, that kind of like made a decision that, you know, he kind of like, you know, with all these girls, right? He didn't want his son, right, around all these girls, man. So he kind of like, you know, in my youth, made a decision to kind of like, you know, let my grandparents kind of like watch me. So I grew up, right, with anger and resentment, right, with my family, and I hated my family. So I grew up in a lifestyle, you know what I mean? I had an uncle who loved me for who I was, right? And gave me the very best that he could. And at the age of 11, man, you know, he gave me my first package. Right? And being in a lifestyle, you know what I mean? I found myself kind of like gravitating to places, man, you know what I mean? That when I got there, I told myself I want to do this for the rest of my life. But I'm also the kid, right, who went to the private school. I'm the kid, man, who, you know what I mean, who lived in a middle class family, you know, who didn't want anything, but all I really wanted, man, was my family to love me. So I found myself, man, gravitating to after hour joints. Right? I found myself, you know what I mean, like going to like strip joints. You know what I mean? And an obsessive compulsive to go to the lab dancing places. You know what I mean? And hooking up, man, with, you know, cause I like fast women. Like, I love the lifestyle. So, you know, going through those processes of my life, right? I find myself, man, you know, right in high school, right? And I go to high school, but I'm still living this double life, you know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out, man. Why, you know what I mean? I'm living the way I'm living, you know what I mean? I want to do the right thing, man. But it's something about, man, that lifestyle. Thinking about at the end of the road, right? When I was in that garage, you know, I had those moments of clarity, right? You know, when I can remember, man, that I remember my grandmother used to tell me, man, that I was a good boy. All I wanted to do was just be a good boy. But it was something that would allow me, man, you know what I mean, to kind of like, to get honors, right? And because I always wanted to be accepted. I always wanted somebody to love me, man. So, you know, when my mom and them told me, man, you know what I mean, you need to get off that corner, you know what I mean? You need to go ahead and start doing, you know, some positive things, you know what I mean? I had to be on the corner. So I found myself, man, you know what I mean, in a dilemma at the end, wondering why I decided, right? Why did I decide, man, at the age of 35, man, to pick up some coke? Already knew if I decided to pick it up, I was going to be a bum. So I find out, man, you know what I mean, through my lifestyle, right, I'm involved with a woman, right, and at this time I'm married, right, I got a daughter, I got a little son, you know what I'm saying, and I'm involved with this woman, and she give me a phone call, and she say, man, you need to go get yourself checked. I go to the doctor. I find that I got HIV virus. I get this information from the doctor. Back then, this was like 1994. And it was telling people with the virus you had like 5 years to live. I didn't know how to evaluate or even accept that I had 5 years to live. I say, man, what 5 years to live? What am I supposed to do then? So they came up with this thing, this AZT stuff, and you know, y'all know the history, you know what I mean? And I was afraid, right, to tell, right? I was afraid to tell my family, you know what I mean? How could I tell my family? How could I tell my wife? But how can I tell my children, man, that I got this deadly disease, right? That people was dying in 5 years, right? But what I found out, man, through some step with that, it was even deeper than that. Right? The honest truth was about is that, man, could I accept the fact, man, that at that time they were saying, man, that HIV virus was a gay man disease? I couldn't accept the fact, man, that I thought y'all was gonna look at me because if I came out and talked about I had the virus, man, was y'all gonna look at me as being gay? That's why I smoke. That's why I couldn't get honest. That's why when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, man, I came in, man, with an image, man. I thought I was covering up something, man, but for real, man, I was just covering up the truth. I didn't want to let y'all know who I was. Because I wanted y'all to accept me. So I had a lot of girlfriends. I slept with women in here unprotected. I ain't tell them. But I wanted to tell them. I wanted to tell them. I'm the same addict who would come in a meeting and share and then leave right out of the meeting and pick up another stuff and add it and wouldn't even tell him. We talking about, man, sharing clean, living dirty. I ain't the only one. So I'm in Narcotics Anonymous. and I have these girls, and I'm in relationships, and we're having sex, and I ain't telling them. But I'm dying inside. I'm dying inside, man. But I also, I mean, back then we was having dances every weekend. So I was covering that stuff up, man. You know what I mean? You know, you could throw on some nice little gear, you know what I'm saying? But for real, man, I'm dying. I couldn't even look in the mirror anymore. I couldn't even look at myself. But something happens, man, you know, something happens in this program, man, to an addict, man, without their own permission. I'm talking about, man, me, I kept coming, you know, at first, man, you know, I came because I thought, man, that, you know, I know I didn't want to go back to the garage, man, but it started getting more serious about not going back to the garage. I started seeing some things, man, and y'all, man, y'all started giving me some hope, man. Y'all started telling me, man, that, Mike, all you gotta do, man, is just, you know, have a small faith of hope. I'm telling you, not small, a mustard seed is. A mustard seed of hope, Mike. So I started kind of like taking on that concept, man, that, you know, possibly, man, that if it happened for me, I had a good friend in this program who told me, man, you gotta tell those women, Mike. You gotta tell those women that you were having sex with, unprotected, that you got the virus. I'm talking about that was the hardest thing I had to do. I'm talking about more than five or maybe seven women that I had to walk through this program, man, and I knew y'all was talking about me. I knew, man, that y'all was hating on me. I knew that's why y'all ain't wanna hug me. But my perception, man, had me so distorted, man, that it wasn't even about y'all. It was about me. All y'all wanted to know, man, what y'all could do to help me with my recovery, man. So what I needed to do, man, I needed to first, man, stop applying the first step. But I didn't know how to get honest. It hurt to get honest. Because I didn't want to feel exposed, man. I'm talking about vulnerable. I mean, I find that being vulnerable, man, comes from the heart. It starts in the heart. And I don't want to be naked, man, in front of nobody, man, because at night I know that you're talking about me, you know, and then you be okay with people, you know, not talking about you or talking about you, right? But I was in a place. So the dad, you know, a good friend of mine said, man, you got to tell him, and I don't know why I told him. I started believing that, you know, he kind of like tricked me. He said, man, if you tell him, he said, man, some good thing was going to happen for you. That's what he told me. He said, if you tell him, some good things are going to happen for you. So I took the risk. I took the risk, and I walked these women through this process. Absolutely none of these women came up positive. You're talking about a second step experience. I need to have my own experience. The second step talks about, man, you know, without this step, you can't go on any further in this process because you might find yourself if you don't go back. I'm talking about not going over this step with a minimum concern. So I got the hope. Right? I got the hope. Right? I'm sharing everywhere, you know, people, you know what I mean? Because back then, a lot of people weren't sharing about the virus. Right? A lot of people ain't want to, you know, expose themselves, man, because everybody want love, man. You know what I mean? Love me, man. We're going to love you until you love yourself, right? And that was some bullshit. It was some bullshit. Valley, I know, man. I've been here a long time. A long time. But I got to a point, man, that somebody, man, has kind of like take that step up front, man. You know what I mean? And I ain't want to be the spokesperson for HIV and Narcotics Anonymous. I ain't want to turn into that HIV meeting, but I'm telling my story. And I had this program, right? I went through, you know what I mean? Went through this disease that I got and this illness that got, that took me to a deeper level. A deeper level. So working with a sponsor, man, you know what I mean? And going through that third step process, man, and understanding, man, yeah, I'm ready to go. I didn't turn my life over to God, right? And I made that decision. So now I'm ready to sit down and kind of like start writing some stuff, you know? He used to tell me, say, yeah, man, what you need to do is get the pen, and you write with the pen, and what flows with the pen, man, with dynamite exposure. So I took a risk, man. I started believing this in the sponsor, man. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I had some stuff, right, that I say, man, that I would take to my grave. I would take to my grave, man. And in that first step, man, you know, man, we just don't talk about what's in the past, man, but we talk about what's in the present. You know what I mean? Because them defects, man, them same defects that was in the past, you know what I mean, they're still in the present. They ain't never gone nowhere. Right? They tell me, man, all them joints do is just get right behind each other. They don't go nowhere. So we're doing this process, right? And I'm writing, right? And I'm finding out, man, that the disease, right, obsessive compulsion, right, that I'm obsessed, man, with a feeling, right? And the feeling, right, that will turn into the sexual part, right? Because all I want to do is feel good and feel good all the time, right? So why am I still like picking up, you know what I mean? I got some time in the program. Why am I still going outside picking up women? Why am I still, you know, like chasing this feeling? You know what I mean? And I'm finding out, I kind of like find out that the disease manifests itself in all different areas of my life, right? And so once I identified that, I got better with the tricking, right? It went from tricking to masturbation. So now I'm sitting there masturbating, man, you know what I mean, all in my mind, man. I'm talking, okay, I can't stop masturbating, right? So I'm gonna beat myself up for a while, you know what I mean? I get tired of that. But I ain't coming into the meeting talking about the masturbation. I ain't even coming into the meeting talking about how freaky I can be, you know, but I'm still talking about how God is good, you know what I mean, he's changing my life, you know what I'm saying? But am I talking about, man, what's really going on? What's really going on? So I'm talking about, man, how working in step work, man, and kind of like that, starting to get, I'm getting to a place of some freedom, but I'm still fighting because all I want to do is sound good. All I want to do is sound good. So I find myself at the end of my fifth step, right? Got a sponsor. He's circling. I mean, who had a sponsor circle their shit in red? He's circling shit in red. I said, okay. I mean, come on. You know, what's this talk about? You got to. I mean, am I in school? But kind of find out, man, I am in school. Because I need to learn some stuff about me, my defects of character, man. You know, I'm grateful for my sponsor, right? I'm on my third sponsor now, right? I'm kind of like on my fourth, you know what I mean? I'm ready to do another cycle of steps, right? Like my fourth cycle, you know what I mean? And I'm just talking about my process, right? Okay, and that's me. Yep. Got you. I'm wrap this up. Sharing clean, living dirt. So here goes some hope. I got a lot of hope out of people who shared, especially the lady who shared tonight, right? And it made me think about, you know, I'm the crackhead, right, who live in the garage, right? And when she started talking about education, right, I get real excited, man. I get real excited, man. Because I'm the crackhead, man, who went from the garage and went to a PhD. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about... I'm talking about, I remember coming to this convention about 7 years ago and sharing about, man, how it was, you know, man, just being in the process and hopefully when I come back, man, I get to share about I have obtained my PhD, man. So I'm here to say, man, that anything's possible, man. Once the addict put down the drug, man, new dreams and possibilities can happen, even for a crackhead like me. Like a crackhead like me. So the hope is, man, that any addict, I'm talking about the fat addict, right? I'm talking about the white addict, right? I'm talking about the Jewish addict, right? I'm talking about the Asian addict, right? I'm talking about the addict, man, who don't even know they're an addict but haven't gotten here yet, man. Still, to find a new way. You know what I mean? A new way, man. You know what I mean? Come in here and learn how to save their life, right? And can have some big dreams. Man, dreams, man. You know what I mean? Dreams, any dream. Right? And I want to say this in closing, right? I started writing a book. And the title of my book is God Has the Last Say. So if you do hear, God has the last say. If you've been here a while, God has the last say. If you're getting tired of being here, God has the last say. So I just want to, you know, man, I just want to encourage you, man. You know what I mean? And ladies and anybody, man, who didn't get anything, you know what I mean, out of this convention this weekend, you know what I mean? Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep saying clean and living dirty. Keep coming. More will be revealed. And that's all I got, man. Thanks for letting me share.